Thank you for your giving. I just couldn't help but notice we're a little bit light today again, and I was going to say, if you see someone next to you that isn't here, and I thought, you know, that'd be kind of creepy. But if you notice there is someone not here that normally sits next to you, why don't you get a hold of them, find out if they're okay, if maybe you can pray for them. Amen? Yes. Amen. We're going to continue this morning with our new series, Yes, You Can Get Out of Your Mess, okay? And this is going to be part 1B, and the title is the same as part 1, Renew Your View, okay? And we're going to talk today about how maybe some of us, or maybe all of us, need to renew our view of who God really is, all right? We established last week in part 1 that there are things that God will always do, and what? Things that God will never do. The God we serve is a God of consistency, and he is a God who greatly loves us, a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many are happy that that's true? You don't have to wonder who he is, amen, and who will never change. In fact, out of his own mouth, Weston said it this morning, but out of God's own mouth, he says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I'm going to read King James, even though I don't have it written down here. I do not change, or I change it not, okay? Who, according to Numbers 23:19, says, God is not a man that he should lie. Okay, so what he says is true. How many of you know that what he says is true? If he says it, I believe it, and that just plain settles it, and that has to be the way we view the Word of God. This week, I'd like to expound a little bit further on the truth that some well-meaning believers have a skewed view, say skewed view, of who God is and the consistency of his character, okay? And there are times when these well-meaning believers kind of change the narrative to fit their circumstances and justify their belief, or should I say their lack of belief. But don't worry, not to worry. That's why we have the Word of God, amen? Come on, get excited about that. That's why we have the Word of God, amen? Yep. How many of you know that if you want to get to know who Jesus is or you want to get to know who God is, it isn't such a big thing to go ask somebody else because they could have their opinion. All you have to do is read the Bible. Amen. Amen. The Word of God enables you and I, if you will, to learn about and to know the character of our God. So are you with me so far? Okay. As we begin this morning, let's stand together, okay, and we'll join together and make our Bible declaration together and lift our Bibles together towards heaven. Are you ready? See, now today you have to talk or declare twice as loud, okay? At least twice as loud so that it just sounds the same to heaven, okay? Okay. Are you ready? Yeah. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Why don't we pray just a moment before I get started, all right? So bow your heads with me, please. Father, I pray that you would just let the anointing on your word be apparent. I pray that we would feel it go into our hearts, our minds, our lives, our spirits, and begin to change us. And God, I pray that that convicting power of the Holy Ghost would be present here this morning. God, I would pray that you would give me favor, first of all, with you, second of all, with the people. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. There's one thing that I'd like you to keep in mind as we get started here this morning, and that is there are things that God will always do, and there are things that God will never do. Say that with me. There are things that God will always do, and things that God will never do. I have a question for you this morning. If someone were to ask you, how do you see God? And what was it that contributed to that view What would your answer be? Okay? What would your answer be? Our view of God cannot be formed out of our own opinion or somebody else's opinion. Our view of God has to be formed from His Word. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to read a number of scriptures that talks about the renewing of our minds, which is something that the Bible says that needs to happen in our lives post-salvation, all right? In other words, once we get saved, we have to change our way of thinking. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're going to start with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think this is probably the second scripture that I memorized, okay? But I didn't memorize it in New King James, so I'm going to read it. All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. And then notice what it says next. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then next there's Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct. In other words, you can't be the same as you were, okay? That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to this deceitful lust. And then there's James 1, 21. Therefore, lay aside, say lay aside. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. I love how King James says that, all superfluity of naughtiness, all right? Anyway, and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And then finally we have Joshua 1:8, which says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How many of you here would like to have good success? How many of you know that there's really such a thing as bad success? It's when the good things in your life, they affect you in a negative way. That's bad success, okay? That's maybe the way, and I've noticed this, and I'm sorry, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? Money isn't the root of all evil. But I have noticed one thing. Money changes people, all right? When people get a lot of money, they very seldom remain the person that they were. And if they do remain the person that they were, then you know what? They've got good character. Amen? Good character. Anyway, by reading these passages, we get an idea of what renewing our mind actually looks like. How that learning from God's word and applying God's word in our lives is what will help us to renew our minds into a more godlike, if you will, way of thinking. When I think of the way that I thought of things before I got saved, it's totally different than the way I think of things now. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes I kind of fall back into the old way of thinking, but then I hopefully catch the Holy Spirit saying to me, hey, Wes, and then I turn around. Okay? Okay. I'm going to give you one more scripture. This is so important. This is foundational to all of your Christendom. Okay? James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know why? Because you'll deceive yourself. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm renewed. Things are all right. No. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. All right. Let me ask you another question, all right? Are you or do you find yourself presently in a deep, dark place of hardship or suffering? Or maybe you're in a place where, you know what, your life just really isn't going the way you had planned. Amen? If you remember from last week, the believers in the book of James, who James was writing to, believed that God was, from a distance, allowing the tragic events they were experiencing to come into their lives. Now, I want you just to be honest with yourself this morning. Is this what you believe? Is that what you believe? When you've walked through dark and difficult times in the past, do you think they are from God? Were you thinking that they were something that God brought into your life? Secondly, I'm going to ask you another one. Have you blamed God for bringing those dark and difficult times into your life? You know, I was thinking last week about the word blame. It's almost like it shouldn't be in a Christian's vocabulary, you know? Because a Christian, a real Christian, is somebody who doesn't blame their problems on somebody else, okay? They understand that the problems that have come into their life have probably come into their life because of their behavior. Amen? And they don't go around pointing fingers at mom and dad or at their brothers and their sisters. They say, okay, it's me. Amen? Please turn with me to James 1:13. That's James 1:13. I don't even hear pages turning today. James 1:13. You know, this little yellow piece of tape gets my attention every time I look over here. So if you see me going, that's why. Okay. James 1:13. Are you there? God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I happen to believe what the word says, that God only gives us what is good. And you know what? Good means good. Come on. Good doesn't mean some veiled idea of what maybe he might think is good. And I believe that the Bible backs this belief up. So now, just bear with me as I ask you another question. So if God doesn't give or allow evil things into your life, or he doesn't cause them to happen, what is it that he does give? What is it that he does impart into your life? And James 1:17 answers this question perfectly. It says this, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right? All right. Notice the word good that James uses in verse 17 when he says every good and perfect gift. The word good that is used here is the Greek word agathos, and it describes anything good. All right? Anything good or anything that's beneficial or anything that's profitable. So the thing that you and I have to have faith in, despite what it looks like at times, despite what other people say to us, is what it says in the Word of God. Okay? What it says in the Word of God. And that belief is, that thing that we have to have faith in, is when God sends something our way, that it will always, say always, that it will always be something good. And it will bring a positive benefit into our lives. That's what the Bible says, okay? I'm not talking about what you think you've experienced. I'm talking about what the Bible says. So now let's answer this question, okay? How often does God bring good, beneficial things into your life? You know, that's a really good question. And the answer is found in the meaning of the word gift in verse 17. The Greek word for gift is the word dosis. And it describes a perpetual giving from God. Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a giving God that gives perpetually? He doesn't stop. He doesn't say, oh, I've given it enough to that person. I've shown my love to that person enough. I've blessed that person enough. Amen? That isn't the way he talks. That isn't what he says. He gives perpetually. In other words, when God gives a gift, it's not a single gift that's only given once. The word is describing the habitual, oh, come on, this is good stuff. The habitual, over and over, perpetual giving of God. In fact, the phrase, every good gift, could be translated, every good, habitual, perpetual gift that God gives. That's good stuff. Amen? That's good stuff. To make sure that we really, really understand this and stop making mistakes about the motivation of God's gifts that he gives to us, the Holy Spirit added to every good gift the phrase, every perfect gift, all right? Every good gift and every perfect gift. That word perfect is the Greek word teleion, and it describes something mature. This is good too. Something complete, or again, something perfect. This means we could translate the verse like this. Every good, habitual and perpetual gift giving of God is a completing, maturing, and perfecting gift. Well, I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like that's something that's going to bring life into my life. Amen? That's a good thing that can transform me. Which makes the next statement about the character of God true. What comes from God adds to you and never takes away from you. Come on, people. All right? What comes from God adds to you and never takes away from you. So someone would only need to ask and then answer the following questions, all right? Does cancer add to your life? Or does it take away from your life? What about other forms of sickness or disease, such as arthritis, or Parkinson's disease, or leukemia, or debilitating migraines, or even something like the struggle of infertility, and so on? Do they add to your life, or do they take away from your life? What about house fires? What about floods and other disasters? What about poverty and what about lack? Does it add to your life or does it take away from your life? And are these things beneficial and completing or damaging and depleting? All right? And you have to answer that question. Hopefully you answer that question by the word of God. Sickness, disasters, and poverty, no matter how you slice it, they don't add life. Are you with me this morning? They don't add life. They take away from life. I don't see how anywhere anybody could argue that fact. Therefore, not one of these things come from the throne of God. Oh, I can't believe God gave me cancer. Oh, God, help me. Jesus, he didn't. He didn't. I don't know what did, but he didn't. Oh, I can't believe I went broke. You know what? You probably made some really bad decisions. Don't blame it on God. Do you know what I'm saying here? The Bible says it clearly. Say it says it clearly. No other options. Only. Again, now, say only. Only good and perfect gifts come from above, from our God who is seated on the throne. Can you believe that this morning? Can you believe that when you start going through some really bad things in your life, that maybe, just maybe they either came from the enemy or they came from some decision that you made in your own life that it was not beneficial to you? Well, I never wore a face mask when I was in that asbestos. I don't know why I got trouble with my lungs now. Why'd God do that to me? Hello? Every deadly... I'm going to say it again. Every deadly, damaging, and destructive thing is from the devil. All right? Let me make this next statement by what we've learned so far. God's good gifts actually come like a downpour. Okay? They actually come like a downpour. James makes it unalterably clear in the language that he uses that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. The phrase comes down is the Greek word katabiano, okay? The word is the compound word of two words, the word kata and the word biano. But kata describes something that comes down so hard that it's dominating or subjugating, okay? And the word biano, which means to step down, all right? It's the same word someone would use to describe the walking down of a flight of stairs, all right? When the words are compounded together to form carabiano, it means to be dominated. It means to be dominated by something coming down so very hard that it's like a downpour of rain. All right? Now, this is what the language says here. And I'm not taking the syntax out of context. This is what James is trying to get across to these people, is they had a wrong idea of who God really was. As they were blaming God for making them work on this tunnel that they were going to be working on the rest of their lives and only being fed bread and water. God, why did you do this to me? Have you ever found yourself maybe down on your knees? God, why me? Why'd you do this to me? Don't you like me? You like that other guy? How can you like him and not like me? I'm a much better guy than that other guy. But carabiano means to be dominated by something coming down very hard, like a downpour of rain. Have you ever been driving your car in a downpour? Okay, where the rain was coming down so hard and so heavy that you couldn't see anything in front of you? I mean, the downpour was so dominating that you had to pull over alongside the road and wait for the rain to stop. Okay? That describes the meaning of the phrase comes down, okay, in this verse. And it indicates how God is sending his good and perfect gifts to you and I. I know this sounds like, Pastor West, this positive stuff, I don't know. But you know what? There's times in the Bible where we have to put up with the things that are really hard, right? But there are times in the Bible where we just got to receive the things that are good. And sometimes I think Christians have more trouble receiving the things that are good, come on, than the things that are hard. Someone may say, if God is pouring good and perfect gifts on me, why am I not hit by one of those downpours at least once in a while then? What's going on? Well, the answer is simple. And please, just receive this for what it is. We have to receive his gifts in faith. Okay? In faith. Because there are certain things that you can know that God does, and there are certain things that you can know God does not do. If your mind thinks, okay? If your mind thinks and believes that God is causing or allowing all your problems, all your trouble, all your tribulation, you won't be looking for or anticipating his goodness to pour out in your life, right? You're too busy blaming him for what's happening in your life. Okay, I'll throw this one in for free. And if it was God that brought it, what are you doing praying for him to take it away? Because he brought it for your benefit, right? Hello? No, he didn't. He's not the source. Now, again, that doesn't mean that God doesn't work everything together for the good, for those that love God, for those that are the called according to his service. That doesn't mean that doesn't happen. It does. And I believe every rotten, stinking, terrible thing that I've gone through, God has turned around somehow. It had to be God, because man couldn't do it, right? He's turned those things around that now they benefit me. But he was not the source. Most of the time, and I hate to say this, I'd love to blame the devil, but most of the time it's just my stinking flesh. Amen. Wanted to do certain things, and it did them, and it'd get me in trouble. Amen? Amen? Amen. In other words, if you think all this bad stuff is coming from heaven, you just won't have the faith for his blessings. Because after all, why would you have faith to expect him to heal what he has brought upon you? Why? You know, I've got cancer and God has given it to me. God, would you please heal it? There's something wrong in there. Something fundamentally wrong in that whole prayer. God, why did you cause me to lose all my millions? I don't think it was God. But he will take it. No matter how bad it is, he will take it. And if you listen to him, and if you're obedient to him, and if you receive what he's giving you, he'll turn it around. Amen. But if this is the way that you've been seeing and perceiving God, you need the word of God. Okay, you need the word. You need to let the word renew your mind and transform your thoughts. I think I read that somewhere. I think I read that to you somewhere. We have to allow the word of God to wash over us like water. I think I read that somewhere too. And let that transform who we are. Because, you know, it just doesn't work to not be renewed. In Ephesians 4, I think 26 or 27, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, we have to be renewed. We have to be, what does it mean to be renewed? It almost means to start over. Okay, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible kind of hooks together. You know what I mean? But we have to be renewed into a people that has faith to believe that we serve a good God. We serve a God who will let things come into our lives, will be the author of those things that come into our life that are good and perfect. Why is that so hard to believe? I mean, seriously, why is that so hard to believe? Why is it that it's much easier to accredit, I guess, God for everything that's happening in your life? Is that spiritual? Not according to my Bible, it's not. God led me down that street. I know I had a front-end collision, just about lost my life, but he was the author. Okay. But as you begin believing for and expecting good and perfect gifts to come into your life, can you do that this morning? Can you do that this morning? You put yourself in a position to receive these good things from the Father of lights instead of receiving things from the Father of darkness, which we all know is the devil. Well, does the devil control our life? I really hope not. But I know there's times, and even in the life of a Christian, I know there's times. You know how I know? I have witnessed things coming out of Christians' mouths, and I'm not talking about swearing and things, saying things that they ought not to have said, okay? That nobody should have said to me or to you or anybody else. All right. I'm talking about what God will do always, okay? What he will always do and what God will never do. So I'm going to make the next statement, okay? You ready? God never changes. Amen. And the quality of his gifts never change. And his character never changes. You know what else never changes? His word never changes. Never, ever changes. The book of James was put in the Bible because it's so important that we understand that even though we can witness and understand and testify to this group of Christians that we're going through hell and understand that we can go through that same type of bad times in our lives and still not blame it on God. And James was just vehemently saying, would you stop it? Would you knock it off? Don't you ever say that again. That is 100% wrong. If you weren't here for last week's message, you should probably read it. You should probably listen to it. Anyway, James then goes on in verse 17 to say that with God, the Father of lights, there is no variation or variableness or shadow of turning. These words in the original language specifically describe the shifting shadows of a Roman sundial. Okay? If you were talking about a Roman sundial, you would use the same type of verbiage. Now, a sundial tells the time of day, right? And as time passes and the sun moves across the sky, the shadow on the sundial shifts to reflect the accurate time. Are you with me? So every time you look at a sundial, the shadow has changed or is changing, and it's technically never the same. Never the same. So by using the words, the Father of lights with whom is no variation nor shadow of turning, James was saying again, God is not like a Roman sundial that changes every second of every day concerning what he gives you or why he gives it. What comes from him is always a steady flow of good and perfect gifts. You can't read this any other way, okay? You can't read this in a different light. That means when tragedy comes and trouble comes or tribulation comes, you and I don't need to stop and question, oh, I wonder, is this from God? Or is it from the enemy? Or did I just make some stupid decision, and am I reaping what I'm sowing? You know what the more often thing to be said is? When tragedy comes and trouble, and bad times. Why, God? Why are you doing this? I have heard, and it, you know, I'm not talking about myself, but I have heard when people are working on cars and when a bolt won't come loose, guess who gets blamed? God gets blamed, all right? Now, that would never happen to me because mostly bolts break on Jeeps, okay? But he always, always receives the blame. Anything, say anything. Anything that enters into your life to bring damage or destruction or ruin is not from God. You can settle that right now. But if what comes into your life is good and beneficial and completing and even perfecting, that, my friend, is from God. On the issue of what God gives and what he never gives or what he does and he never does, there is no variation, no variableness, nor shadow of turning. And according to Malachi 3:6, once again, I'm going to say it, for I am the Lord. Say this with me. I change not. Say it. Yeah. Change not. Do it again. I change not. In other words, he is the same God today as he was yesterday, and tomorrow he's going to be the same God he was the day before and times before. He isn't like you and I. We don't change our mind. Or he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his way of doing things. Not like us who every day we're different, you know. Every day we think we should do it this way, and then, well, we should do it that way, and yeah, and then we get confused, and I know the Bible says that confusion's not from God. I wonder why. I mean, I wonder why. And according to Hebrews 13:8, and we've talked about it and said it already, but I'm just going to give it to you the way it says it in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same when? Yesterday and today and forever. Wow. Wow. That's good stuff. He never changes because there are things, and hear me, there are things that God always does and there are things that God never does. So if you take this teaching to heart, you have to understand that there's really never much reason to blame God. Unless you want to blame him for the way you did stuff, and then you really can't do that anyway. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I believe in healing. I've been healed twice that I know of, maybe much more, okay? If he'll heal me, he'll heal you. I got no corner on the market. I'm not better than. I don't act better than. Ask Serena. I'm still a husband who's always right, okay? What are you doing for lunch? No. There's this statement that I've been saying over and over again, and I wish you'd kind of adopt this statement, you know, because it is so profound. And that's this. There are things that God always does. Why always? Because he's the same. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there are things that God always does. And because the word doesn't change, and it tells us what he does do, all right, I'm going to read the whole thing. I'll quit expounding. There are things that God always does and things that God never does. Say it with me. There are things that God always does and there are things that God never does. Now say it like you've memorized it. There are things that God always does and things that God never does. All right. The truth is, you know, yes, you can get out of your mess. But I think we need to have a right view of who God is. Amen? Let's bow our heads.